Hi, and welcome to the Making Our Way podcast. This week, our guest is Faith Montgomery from Wooden Sense, and she tells us all about her 3D paintings using reclaimed wood. Thanks for listening. Hey guys, what's up?
Hey, hey.
Just kicking it.
Before we get into it, Christy, you want to give us an update on where we stand as of today on the Making Our Way ornament swap, mouse swap 2023?
Yeah, these ornaments that we're seeing come through are beautiful. I mean, there's just some really, really intricate details. Some of these ornaments are coming through. So, so far, I mean, we've had Ed's Clocks and More. He was, you know, kicking it off at the
right
beginning.
Out the gate.
Yeah, with the epoxy and a pine cone ornament. Yep. And then McNeil's Wooden Creations has a pretty little ornament they made there. I think they're big into the lasers, so that's where they've got that going on. And then Emmett Deadrise, he learned the copper work whenever he was at Maker's Camp, and then he did that super cute little holly ornament. And then we've got Shade Crow Studios has a beautiful ornament there. That I'm not exactly what if she's using a laser, but man, that is a pretty ornament. And then Mr. Creative here, we got Birch Told with Lecter.
Yeah, Hannibal Lecter.
Hannibal Lecter
with the Santa hat.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, my favorite part of it is the bloody neck.
Yes.
And like, I hope that goes to someone who has like a real angel theme tree.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty good. They're all really cool. And then we've got Earl the Third, XYZ. He has a great story.
To read the story on his. When I first looked, I was like, oh, what an interesting creature. And then I read the story and I realized it's one of those like butter cookie tins.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, you know, how many times as a kid did you see that tin and think it was cookies, but it's really where your grandma was hiding like her extra buttons or, you know, her sewing stuff.
So yeah.
It definitely was the story added to it for sure.
Yeah, that was a great ornament. And then HT1 Metalworks has a super cool, I'm not sure if that is brass or what material he cast.
Yeah,
there.
You know he casted it though.
Yeah, that's a beautiful piece. And then Leah Learning, she had the remake of the Maker Sign.
Yeah, Wesley
in
Treat's
a
Maker
small
Sign.
Version. Yeah, some great stitching on that. Absolutely beautiful stitching on that. And then it was really fun to watch Lindsay Creative's process making her little Chinese food bowl.
Chinese takeout.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like that. I like all the stuff Lindsay does. She even etched like the artwork on the sign, and she made noodles with copper wire and stuff.
Yeah. And then Rebecca Johansson, she's working on a pine cone.
Hers is metal, right?
Really cool.
I thought I saw it.
Yeah. I do believe. And then I'm not sure how to pronounce this one, if it's Strath or how that's
The stained glass
pronounced.
One.
Yeah, very beautiful stained glass circle with the different stained glass pieces going in there. I'm trying to think if I'm, well, of course, the ones that we've got going on here, Dean has the lead as far as getting done first. From us with your little
Santa sack with the presents
cute.
On the inside. I know my mom's working on a stained glass one. I know Colin from Juniper and Sixth, he finished one. It's kind of like turn reclaim piece of, I think it was walnut or something with a brass hanger. I know Jeff's got something, Weird Guy's got something he's working on. But you know, he's got to make it where it uses 15 different machines and all kind of carves and relieves. So that'll be interesting to see what he comes up with.
Did I see one with some crocheting, maybe some stars?
Stephanie.
Okay.
Yeah, that's spaghetti and waffles. So she's got one that she's that was pretty interesting. You want to talk about makers just for a real quick little sidebar?
Uh-huh.
There was a girl at work that knits. So she knits a sweater at lunch. And so Stephanie just sat down one day and was like, well, I'm going to crochet, and never had crocheted before. And this has only been, you know, in the last few months. She bought one of those wobbles kits or whatever they're called.
Yes, I've heard about it. I've seen those a lot.
So she started with those, and she's done a blanket. She's done all kinds of stuff. She just finished a baby blanket. She's done all kinds of stuff. And so I encouraged, you know, hey, that's one thing. Like if you do crocheting or knitting, And you're like, oh, well, but someone casted one. Well, but the guy who casted that, he's not crocheting or knitting. And if they were right. to get your ornament, that's really exciting for them because it's outside of their, you know, don't downplay what your skill set is, because it's a high likelihood it's unique to someone else and they'll really appreciate the thing that you make is different for them. This isn't it's not about a competition. It's about sharing something with other makers. And also we have the Toy Node Nation component of it. So don't be intimidated. If you want to talk it out, reach out. I'd love to discuss what you're working on and the path forward. But the deadline's coming up December 5th, 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, 2 weeks from the day that this episode drops is what's going on. I was kind of, as far as just, you know, spitballing ideas, I was thinking, you know, you guys are, of course, making fun of my barnwood, which, of course, will have to be part of my ornament. But I was thinking about, you know, bandsawing a small Christmas tree. And then because there's so many like grooves, I've got different types of barnwood from different situations, different levels of weathering. And some of them have very deep valleys. So I contemplated painting it and then sanding off the top edges, you know, to the roughest part.
Sure.
To kind of give it that, like, the valleys will be the super green, but what you see won't. And then incorporating somehow, I was thinking about using like my little Dremel tool with the little burrs that we got from Maker's Camp from Sabertooth.
Yeah.
Make some little areas to add some decorations on a little Christmas tree. That's kind of when I'm, you know, rattling around.
Are you gonna
in
paint
my brain.
The decorations or like put kind of jewels or crystals or?
Well, that's where I'm still. I've got a bunch of different accessories because ornament that I did last year included.
And decorate the tree with those.
Yes. So that's kind of where I'm thinking. We'll see if that's where it ends up going, but that's kind of where I'm rattling around.
I like it a lot.
Austin, what do you got in mind?
We were just spitballing ideas before we were recording, and I really like the idea of like trying to cast something, but I don't know that I can pull it off in time, mainly with my workload that I got right now.
It's that time of year. Yeah.
But like 3D printing and casting would be super cool or something like that. I don't know. I need to really sit down and think about it and see what I think is feasible. My original thought was I was going to do some kind of like a more intricate snowflake than I did last year and I was going to try to do it. You ever seen those? I don't know if you call it like an intersecting. It's almost like a origami star, but you take two triangle pieces and then you slide them together kind of and they end up like you kind of slit and they kind of work over each other. I was thinking about doing that with like a piece of brass and a piece of copper where they kind of went over each other and made a snowflake. I'm still brewing on what I don't want it to be something that I do all the time. Like the first year I did a machine one, the second year I did a blacksmith one. I was like, I want to do something different than what I normally do. You know, so I guess I'm just going to use barn wood and make kind of the stockings.
I mean, I thought about crochet. I've done a lot of different crocheting. I thought about that too, but then I thought, well, you know, I'm always going to go back to the barnwood in some respects.
What about just going and get a stick off the ground outside, glue a marble on it and call it a Charlie Brown Christmas tree and send
that'd be a good one.
Yeah. There we go.
I even thought about doing like a little stacked leather, like Christmas tree.
Yeah.
Two stacks of leather and then turn on the lathe and then dye the leather. So like the stem would be dyed brown. The rest would be dyed green. But then Dean would say it looks like a step drill.
You can't worry about what I say. I'll never say anything nice, so don't worry about what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Well, outside of the swap item, what else has been going on? You sound pretty busy, Austin. What have you been doing?
Yeah, just Christmas orders are in full swing now, and I'm trying to take advantage of my Reels bonus money, and so I'm trying to continue getting some stuff going. I've got so many sponsor deals right now that I'm trying to make sure that I get their videos done and not forget about them. But I'm like with my parents being out of the country.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
I've been only been able to work half days because once the boys come home at 2 o'clock, that was it. I'm watching them the rest of the day. So I've lost half the day for the last 17 days. And so I've been working pretty much as soon as they go to bed at 8 o'clock, I go back and I work till midnight. And so, and then I'm getting up at 5. So I've been sleeping minimal amounts. and so it's definitely taking its toll on me. I feel like I'm fully depleted right now. So the good news is they're home today. And my mom's like, I'm going to be there in the morning to wake the kids up. I'm like, thank God. Thank God.
Back to normal.
Yeah. Make sure you have my breakfast ready.
What so about you,
spoiled.
Christy?
So spoiled. We had a weekend at the farm. It was deer season. So that's our big Thanksgiving gathering for my side of the family. And man, I didn't even count how many we had there this past weekend. I know we're probably for sure pushing 35 just because there's been more babies popping out.
You sent a picture and there was like 20 people in the picture driving tractors and pickups and everybody getting involved on who caught what deer. And
Yeah. We had, I'm trying to think, I think there's probably about six of us hunting at a time. My sister-in-law, my brother's wife, and then Marvin, they each shot a nice deers on Sunday morning. So, you know, whenever that process starts, it's a whole family, you know, everybody's out there looking at what everybody got and telling stories and what did we miss? What came through? You know, I mean, we had everything from coyotes to rabbits, to squirrels, to deer. It was a very active weekend. The weather was really nice for it. So we really saw a lot, in the woods. But it's just a great get together time, family time. And then it was too warm to let the meat hang too long. So we had to get right on the butchering process. But we do that all ourselves right there at the farm. We've got all the equipment, been doing it forever that way. And then Sunday afternoon we had the big lunch with everybody there. So yeah, it was a really good weekend. And my youngest is, or go ahead.
Sorry. I was going to say, do you eat any part of the deer like right away? Like cut it off and let's grill it.
Field.
Right. Yeah. You just take a bite, right?
No. Cause like today's Thursday, we shot him on Sunday. Marvin's is still in the cooler, like cooling out. You know, just it's a process of letting the meat. The meat soaking out. So probably tomorrow night and this weekend we'll work it up. We'll do everything from pastrami to jerky to summer sausage to tenderloins. I don't know if we probably wouldn't grind anything up. We've got a great recipe for pastrami, which is just so good for lunch meat. So
I would never even think that you would do that with a deer, but that's cool. Oh,
it is so good.
And you like dry, you hang that and dry age it? Is that how?
No. Well, you know, no, like we will put it, soak it for like almost 2 weeks in the brine in the fridge and let with all of the seasonings and the spices and all that kind of stuff. And then we smoke it on the smoker and then we slice it up and do all that. And then we freeze it in, you know, in small packets and stuff like that. Wow. But yeah. It's really good. It's really good pastrami. So yeah. And then my youngest sister is expecting. She's going to drop a baby here any day now. I mean, like literally any day now. So yeah, she's 10 years younger than me. So yeah, there's definitely.
I was trying to do the math. I wasn't going to call you out. I was just doing math.
Yeah, she's pushing 40. So so yeah, this is their second. And she's due any minute now, but I have two nieces that have already had kids. So I've got great nieces and nephews while still having more nieces be born. But the funny thing is my sister had said something to her grandson about great aunt Christy, and he's 3 years old, and he's like, "What's so great about Christy?" So
I ask kids myself are funny. Same thing all the time.
you know what's so great about me. But yeah, that was my weekend. What about you, Dean?
I've really just been working on the car, getting ready for the drive. I know last time I talked about the car a bunch, but I did some really fun stuff this time. I had one moment of frustration Tuesday. I wanted to change the spark plugs, and I ordered a spark plug socket from Porsche, went to pull the spark plugs out, and it didn't fit. And the spark plug tool that they sent was like a universal, and the spark plugs were bigger than the tool, but the spec was bigger than the tool they sent. So I had to order a new tool that came in today. So I'll try to take care of that this weekend. That was the one frustrating thing. I had another kind of frustrating part. The speaker grills, you know, it's 30-year-old plastic. And when the speakers I've changed, so they're bigger than the ones that were in the door, and they kind of fit the grills a little tight, and I cracked one of the grills. Well, I came home and I reconstituted it, and I poured epoxy in the back thinking that when that hardened, it would reinforce this plastic grill. Well, I didn't think about it. The epoxy doesn't stick to the smooth plastic. And so whenever I picked it up, I put the first screw in, all the epoxy just popped off the back of the speaker grill.
Oh, no.
So I thought that was kind of funny, if anything. So I think I'm going to 3D print some grills. Not this weekend. I'm just going to run it as is. And then after we're done with the race, the drive in December, I'll learn Fusion and 3D print some. But the thing I was most excited about was I had to change the blinkers. And so that involved running a bunch of new wires, and one bunch of the wires went to the switch to turn the lights on and off. And so it's like a little pull switch. And whenever I was trying to get it out, I pulled it too far, and I like pulled the rubber from around the mounting piece. And so I was trying to figure out how to put it back together. And it looked like the lens would pop out and I could put the mounting piece back in and glue it together, but I broke the lens. And so I went to order a new lens. They were $70 for this piece of plastic. I was like, yeah, I'm not doing that. And so I went to just look at some options, and I was looking at my lathe, my metal lathe. I said, I think I've got a 1-inch piece of aluminum bar back here. And so I went look, and yeah, I have a bar of 1-inch aluminum. And so I was like, well, let's just see what happens. And I turned basically an insert into the piece of rubber out of aluminum and threaded the back. So it's going to replace both the lens and the threaded part that screwed on to the light pull switch. And then I laser etched the light icon. I painted it red, sanded that back off. And then I bought some Aluma Black, and I blackened it, and it looks sharp. It looks so awesome. It looks like Darth Vader's knob. It was interesting also when I was putting the black on, it didn't take everywhere. Like some places it didn't soak in. I don't feel like it was from oils. It was actually where I used that carbide cutter. And I was wondering if maybe it was just too slick of a surface.
Most likely, yeah. Normally, sometimes you have to like Scotch-Brite it, you know, to give it something to like grab a hold. But that Aluma Black is like a chemical. It'll let smoke off of it and stuff because there's like a chemical reaction happening. Yeah.
What was crazy too was like I'd finish it, I'd rinse it off, and it looked great. And then by the time I walked from the bathroom in here, it had kind of like gotten cloudy in places. And so I hit it with some clear coat, and it looks great.
Right.
So I'll put that in the car this weekend. But I did that. I sewed some door cards on, and then we made some new door. I don't have door handles. It has pull straps that you pull to open the doors. And yet, so that's real alligator. So
that's awesome.
Clayton made an alligator belt for a client, and they had these two strips. And I was like, man, if you're not using these.
Score.
So yeah, black alligator for the pull cords. But it's looking great. So I hope to finish the car this weekend, and then that'll be the last of the car projects. I know some people like the car projects on my Instagram. Some people get tired of the car projects. Yeah, it's just what it is. I know there's definitely some people that do not like that as content. There's a lot of people who do, though. So, you know, you can't really please everybody. But yeah, that's been the bulk of what I've been working on.
Cool. That's cool.
We'd like to take a minute and thank the folks over on Patreon for the support that they give us. If you'd like to join them over there at patreon.com/makingourwaypodcast. On the top tier, we've got Marion Ward from Creative Ward Gallery, Scott Oram from Daddy Yourself, and Ozark Spirit. All right, tonight we're joined with Faith Montgomery with Wooden Sense. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing good. Can you kind of give us a little rundown, a little bit about yourself, and what is it that you make?
Well, hi, I'm Faith Montgomery. I'm a painter, woodworker, muralist, you know, all those little itty bitty things in between. Yeah, I guess that's pretty much the gist of it. I like to bring natural art into my own paintings. So, you know, wood, a natural wood, a reclaimed wood, it just kind of makes it seem more authentic. So that's one of the things that I like to use the most.
Yeah, your page, your pieces are, they really jumped out at me like the first time that I went to your page, because the colors are so vibrant. And then you have a unique way of pairing up both reclaimed wood in with your art pieces. Can you kind of, since this is only audio, can you kind of describe how it is you incorporate the reclaimed wood in with your art pieces?
Yeah. So usually, you know, I mean, a lot of people just will use a normal frame, you know, a square rectangle. You just put wood on the border, and mm-hmm. that is beautiful. It can be used in a wonderful way. But the way that I like to incorporate my art is to still make the wood part of the piece. So I usually do cutouts. The first one that I ever did, it was the cutout of a bear. And it was before I knew what most of the tools are that I use now. I used a jigsaw, and it took so long. And
oh yeah.
Yeah. So I, you know, you have the cutout, and inside of that cutout is where the painting actually goes. So it gives you kind of a three-dimensional aspect with the art, instead of it just being, you know, you're just staring at a painting. This one, it gives you more of a sense, more feeling like you're actually there looking at something, as opposed to, you know, just looking at one solid painting.
Yes. So with your pieces, are they ideas that you've come up with, or are normally a client or customer request something in particular? What's your normal direction on your pieces?
Well, I guess at this point, after 8 years, it's probably half and half. After, you know, it took a long time for me to get the following that I have. So starting out, it was everything that I just thought would look pretty, thought that mm-hmm. would look cool, just ideas that I came up with. But then after a while, people would be like, hey, can you do this for me? Can you put my wedding scene into here and add one of your cutouts? Can you do all of this stuff? Can you make, you know, a Nevada state cutout and then add me and my wife's favorite place and stuff like cool. that? So,
oh, nice.
So that's kind of stuff that I love that I get to do that I never thought that I would get to do. You know, it just mm-hmm. kind of has developed over the time. So everything is, it's very 50-50. Some of them are things that I honestly want to create. I don't get as much time as I'd like to create things that I want to make, because I'm just busy trying to pay money to, you know, get money for my bills. Yeah. Stuff like that. Because, you know, it's a hard life out here. But, you know, when I do get to make my own stuff, I would choose that mostly over anything else. I just don't get the option.
Yep. I totally get that. So, and the question that comes to mind with these is like, what came first, the chicken or the egg? So like, I'm looking at particularly like your more recent, like your Halloween type themes and
my doors.
Yeah. Do you normally like cut out, in the case with the haunted house, do you cut out that out of the reclaimed wood first and then make sure your painting fits in that underneath it? Or are you more of a, do your painting first and then make sure the cutout, you know, shows all what you want to off of the painting? Kind of where do you start with your projects?
So it definitely depends on what I'm painting. If I have a specific idea in mind, because like, so my haunted house one with my original characters and everything, mm-hmm. I definitely had to do the cutout first. I had to make the door first so that I knew where to put everything and everybody. And mm-hmm. that is kind of how it goes most of the time, unless it's a painting that I've done so many times or something new that I'm just like, I have to do this right now. I have to paint this right now. And maybe I'll get to the cutout and see if it fits. And, you know, I just had this problem not, like a few weeks ago where I made these two really nice paintings, but I filled them to the edges of the painting when I wanted to give them cutouts, but the cutouts would take away from the paintings that were just beautiful by itself. So I have that problem a lot of times, and I get worried because people do know me for cutouts. I was one of the first people to make them a big deal. So I get stressed. I'm like, I'm not good enough to just put a regular frame on this. You guys expect something specific. So I get all worried. So then I'll put it up on my story. I'm like, hey guys, do you think this is like okay? Or like, are you going to kill me? But everybody's like, no, just put a normal frame on it. It's fine. Yeah. I'm like, okay, okay, cool. Okay, we're fine. It's okay. It's not a big deal. So I'm able to get away with, you know, pretty much anything that I want at this point, which is, I don't believe it most of the days that I'm alive and awake. I'm like, no, I have to still be picky.
Yeah.
And start things a certain way.
Wait, did you get the idea of the doors from Nightmare Before Christmas?
Yeah, I hadn't made doors yet, and I was just making my cutouts. I think it was still Halloween stuff, but somebody on TikTok was like, hey, why don't you make it a door? And I was like, I don't wanna. Who has the time to buy hinges to figure out where the hinges will fit? And then the next year I was like, well, that bitch had a good idea. So then I did it. And now it's, you know, nobody else has done the doors. And I'm like, well, whoever that girl was, I love you. I don't know who you are. I don't remember your name, but you gave me the idea.
She gave you the clue. Make all this stuff.
Yeah. I never knew what it had entailed. And now I'm just stuck doing doors for the rest of my life.
Well, I'm sure you'll find something else out.
So with your cutouts, where do you source the reclaimed wood, the material that you're using? And is that pine or oak, or what are we working with here?
I think most of it's just cedar. So, you know, a lot of us have fences. We have old fences that we like to use. And a lot of people don't paint their old fences. So they turned out to be gray and weathered, specifically in the Pacific Northwest. I don't know about y'all in the other states. I'm sure they end up being sun weathered, though. So they get a little tinge, and that's the perfect gray that I like. But even if they don't come in a gray weathered form, I still am able to use them, because a lot of the things that I do, I have to sand them down. I could use a planer, but I don't have one. So I just end up sanding like a nutcase until it's, you know, down to where it should be, to where I can either stain it or paint over it. But yeah, it's all fence boards, old reclaimed fence boards for free. Some things I've used before are like old pallets that you have to tear down, which is just, I love pallets. They're beautiful. It's good wood, but it's annoying to break apart pallets.
Yeah.
It's, no it's matter definitely, what we can do it.
Yeah. It's definitely got some extra time and energy in those kind of projects. Yeah, or
it's using time that material. Consuming. And I just simply don't care enough to do it. So I'm like, hey, give me those old fence boards you don't want that are sitting on the side of the freeway. I'll take them. I don't care.
There you go.
I'll dry them out.
Yeah. What are you using to do your cutouts? What's your tool now? Then you had mentioned a jigsaw before originally.
Yeah, my dad, he passed away probably 6 years ago. But before he passed, it was when I was starting to get into woodworking and painting and stuff. And I had just done my jigsaw use. I cut it out a bear and like a wolf and a buffalo, you know, little things like that. He's like, you know what would make your life easier? A scroll saw. And I was like, what in the hell's that? Yeah, I have no idea. What is this gibberish that you're speaking? I haven't a clue. And then, you know, we went to Home Depot or Lowe's. I can't remember. I don't know. It's a Porter cable.
Oh, okay.
I do have the one from Lowe's. Everybody can go get it. It's like $250 tax, you know, all that stuff. But I've only had my first one broke, and I'm not going to replace the parts because some of those parts are stupid. So yeah. I just bought another one. But yeah, I've only had to have two.
That's good. So
two is pretty good, you know, in a life where I have to use it every single day. Two's not the worst. But yeah, my scroll saw, she's my baby girl. She does all my cutouts for me. And you didn't think that this tiny little blade could cut so much, but they can, except for when the blade breaks and you get a little jerk and you're kind of scared there for a minute. Sometimes it cuts your little fingy.
Are you like sketching on your pieces to decide where your cutouts are going to be, or do you usually like have some sort of like template that you put down, or where, how are you deciding on where it's going to be cutting?
I'm generally always a freehand sketcher. Have a good memory that way. So whatever because a lot of things I've done before. So I look at, you know, on my iPad what I've done before, and I can sketch out pretty much the same exact thing. Then I cut it out. But sometimes, you know, for very specific things like my haunted house door, I have to have a template. You know, I made the template first just because I get a little nervous and I get scared and I don't want to mess up something that's more specific than what I'm used to doing. So if it's new, I do make my own template, but it's not like a legit template. It's just like, I have my old watercolor paper over here in the corner. I'm going to take out a big sheet of that, make a grid and then go from there. Very old fashioned. But
yeah, it works. Well, it definitely works. And I mean, the colors are just so vibrant. And I mean, everything is just really jumps out at you, even if whether it's one of your pieces that actually has the door, kind of like the pop out door or not, the painting is just absolutely beautiful. So what type paints are you using? Do you have a special preference to get these kind of colors going on?
This is where I usually get some shit. I don't use expensive paint. I refuse to use expensive paint. I don't like it. I've never liked it because I remember it's after I've been painting a while. I go to, it's called Ben Franklin's, it's a craft store in the Pacific Northwest, you know, around certain areas. And I've been going there since I was old enough to walk. My dad would take me there. They have little mini carts just for kids. It was my favorite place to go. And then when I got older, you know, I'd go there for paint because I was like, where else do you go for paint? You buy that online? I don't speak of it. I don't understand what you're saying to me. I'm going to go to the store. I'm going to buy my paint. So that's where I always go to buy my paint. And it's just, you know, crafter's acrylic. That cheap, runny, watery paint. Some of it, there's another brand that's a little more expensive and it's a little thicker, but it's the same general concept and that's what I use. But I remember one day going to the checkup with all this paint, and it was after I was a pretty good painter, and the lady was like, oh, why are you buying this? And I was like, well, you know, I'm doing some paintings. This is kind of what I do. It's my job. She's like, oh, this is, you won't be able to paint anything with these. These don't work very well at all. You should really get, you know, the very thick acrylic, which I get that some people like it. It's not what I'm used to. It's not what I like at all. And I was like, huh, okay. Yeah, I get your opinion, but that's, I'm not doing it. So ring me up, honey, and I'll be on my way. And then now I'm sitting here, you know, doing just fine with my shit paint. it's bright colors if you use them properly. You know, you don't have to dilute them. You just use the color that you want. You find them, you just stick it on the painting and it works just fine.
That's good.
I've never had a problem before.
I was curious with these shit paints. How do you do like all the layers and colors? Do you do a part and you have to let it dry for a certain amount of time? You know, how does that workflow and process go?
So it's pretty easy with acrylic paint because acrylic paint dries very quickly, which, you know, could also be a travesty depending on what you're doing. Sometimes you want things to blend, so you need more time to blend so it doesn't dry. But acrylic paint, the kind that I use, dries with the snap of a finger. Okay. It's very, very fast. So a lot of the time with blending certain things, you just kind of water it down in the middle, you know. So if you're using blue at the top and then you're going like a sunset, you know, kind of a pink, a purple, pink, orange or whatever, you can usually mix them while they're still wet. But if they're not, you just put some water on it, soak it down a little bit, and it blends pretty easily. But if you're using like oils and whatnot, that's never an issue because oil takes a week to dry. And yeah. There's no way in hell. I did it once. I'm not doing it ever again. I can't sit there and watch the paint dry.
So with your paint brushes, are you a similar situation to where you've, the price range doesn't matter, or are you more particular about your brushes?
I am picky about brushes. Well, to an extent, as long as they do the job, I don't care who makes it, you know, how much it is, I'm going to buy what works. But the one that I use the most is Princeton brushes. They're Princeton brushes select. And because I do a lot of fine, tiny detail paintings.
Oh, yeah.
So they're, you know, the little bristles are smaller than a tack. And wow. Some of them, it's very hard to find the perfect ones. And the perfect ones that I've ever been able to find are the Princeton brushes. So I am very particular about those ones. If I don't have them, I'm about ready to throw a fit.
Yeah. Just scrolling through your pieces. I mean, I could keep looking and just, you know, your page is just so beautifully crafted. But the other thing in particular with your page is, at least more recently, your reels, it's just like the way you've got a pattern of, you got a blank canvas and then you touch and then the next level and then you touch and then the next level. I think that is just so interesting to watch because you're not watching forever, but you're getting to see the process of that. Is that something you've done for a while, or is that as far as your post, or is that more recent?
Because it's like magic. You're taking a wand, you're touching the painting, you tap it, and then suddenly it turns into something else and you progress mm-hmm. and you progress and you progress. I've done it a couple of times in the past. I hadn't done that in a while, but I did it to one recent painting because I was like, it was a good idea before. Mm-hmm. why not do it again? Because, you know, I got so stuck in my one way of just throwing down the base of my painting and then putting the cutouts on, you know, snapping my finger a few times and then going throughout the process. I was like, oh, well, we could do the magic wand a few times. Yeah. It's pretty fun.
You are a pretty prolific poster. You've got over 3,000 posts, which might be one of the highest of anybody we've ever interviewed as far as post count. Do you have any other, you know, what's kind of your posting mantra? How do you decide what you're going to post and how often you're going to post it? Things like that.
I used to care so much more and it was cause I was young and cause I really cared about, you know, people seeing me, people getting views, making sure I was noticed. Now I really don't care that much anymore. So I post whenever it's time for me to post. Whenever I have something new to post, I post it. I mean, like the last time I really had to post things was when my dog had to have two surgeries within a year. So it was like, I better be on this right now. I have to post mm-hmm. these things. I have to let people know when they can buy these things because my dog needs that money. I don't need the money. Khaleesi Christine needs the money. So it was like the only time. Yeah, Khaleesi, the mother of dragons. she needed the money. But yeah, now I used to post constantly. It was probably at least every other day. But I've also had that Instagram for 8 years. So sure.
Oh, yeah.
It's a long time coming. And
yeah.
There were times where I don't post at all. There's months when I didn't post at all, but I'm just trying to be like, hey, I'm here. I just, you know, I have other things to do, but I'm still here if you need me. Yeah.
There you go. Now, I noticed on your website that you had some Christmas ornaments. Is that a big push for you, that making Christmas ornaments, little painted Christmas ornaments, or are the holidays a bigger emphasis, or are you more of an all year long, you know, painter?
Well, you know, it's changed over the years. It very much has varied. At first, it was like Christmas was the huge holiday, and I made the ornaments, and, you know, it was like, I don't know, I had 36 of them or whatever, and I dropped them all at one time. So then that's a big traffic day and you're all stressed out. But I don't really I don't do that anymore because I don't like that stress.
It drives me insane.
It gives me really bad anxiety, and I'm trying to stay away from said anxiety. So now, after, I think last year was when I finally got to be myself and show people how much I loved Halloween. Halloween is everything to me. It was my dad's and mine favorite time of year. So now I finally got people to see me for who I was. So Christmas actually isn't too big of a deal the past couple of years now, because Halloween, it starts in August.
Yeah.
I'm busy in August with Halloween until literally Halloween day. So that's my big event of the year. But now I have some new ideas for Christmas stuff. And I just started one today to get a little bit more. I used to love Christmas. You get old and you're just like, oh, the magic, where did it go? But I'm trying to find it again and remember how it felt when I was just a kid.
There you go.
Well, Faith, if you would indulge me, I would like to read something you wrote for one of your last posts and then maybe just kind of through it a little bit. Are you okay with that?
Sure.
All right. I'm going to read this out.
Is, but here we go.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. If you want me to stop, just yell stop. I don't do murals often. When I get the chance to do them, I get a little stressed because I forget that I'm capable. I'm so used to painting so small and sitting down for 15 hours a day that the movement of a giant mural is like, oh shit. My muscles forget how to move like a normal human being. The only muscles that don't hurt currently are my wrist, hands, and fingers, but that will go away soon as my body adjusts. The only thing that stays is the memory of creating something lasting long. And I actually messed that up, long lasting. The one thing I need to remember, but neglect more often than not, when your passion is your job, it's easy to just be focused on orders. Get shit done to pay the bills, especially in this time and place. It's nice to have a moment when someone sees what you've done, leans over, and softly tells you, you've outdone yourself. I forget that what I do isn't just a job. It's something that evokes emotion for many, even when it doesn't for me at the time. Here's to finding yourself over and over and over again. I have some ideas. What prompted you to write a post like this?
So I just did a mural, and it's at a place that's called Return Home. It's in Auburn, Washington, just down the road from where I live. And it's a place that, this might be a fun subject, so you can take it out if you want. It's a place that takes, after you die, they take your body and they, put you back into the earth pretty much. So, you know, you go into kind of a coffin of sorts. And, you know, with all the stuff that they have, they kind of turn you back into soil. It takes, I think, 6 months or something along those lines to make your body into soil. But that's what they do. And I've painted murals there before. So this time they asked me to do another mural. They just bought the building next door. It's going to be the viewing room, which is where me and my family, my aunt had passed away, you know, this year she passed. And I didn't know that my cousin and my uncle were, that was their plan, was to have her be there. So then all of a sudden they're like, well, we're going to go to Return Home. That's the place. We're going to have a viewing and whatnot. I was like, oh, well, I know right where it is because I just did murals there. So that'll be fun. So then, you know, we went there and, you know, she's in her vessel That's what they call it. Mm-hmm. And then behind the vessel was actually, like, to our backs, if you were looking at her, was one of my murals that I painted. Mm-hmm. And I had, you know, you don't really know at the time, you don't think about it, that your family member is ever going to be in that area of vicinity or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, you know, she was there and she always loved my art. So it was kind of like a little, it was very weird and beautiful all at once that she could be surrounded by my art that she used to love a lot. And then now the mural that I just painted, that's their new viewing room. So, you know, the whole mural is the behind of what you will see after you say goodbye to your loved one. So I, you know, you just go in and you do your job and you don't really think about the meaning of it because it's not your job to think about that. It's just your job to do the job. But then, you know, when somebody sits there and tells you, well, this is the last moment that their family will remember and everything, you just kind of sit there and you're like, I didn't even take a moment to really think about it. And that, you know, I sit there and I'm like, oh, well, now I'm going to cry. <I'm> like, oh, great. Great. Now I have to think about all the families that are going to see their family. Like, it's really important. And you just don't think about that a lot of the time because you just get so focused all the time on just making money, paying the bills. This is my full-time job. I'm not a barista anymore. I'm not doing anything else. So it's hard to not be focused on money because you have to have money to survive. But at the same time, it is a job that brings people joy and happiness or an inner meaning that, you know, I will never know. And I need to take more time to kind of remember that more than I do now.
Well, I really liked the post and I like what you just said. I think a lot of us, we get caught up in the go-go and we don't think about why we're even doing this to begin with. So I think that message will resonate with a lot of people that are listening. On a less serious tone, I wanted to ask about shifting from these small cutout fence board reclaimed artwork to murals. How do you retrain your brain to go from something so small to something so large?
The brain's fine. The brain has no issues. That part's pretty easy. The body wants to kill me. Like, they're God. My muscles are so sore. It's not even funny. You know, I'm just used to sitting there literally the entire, I wake up at 5 o'clock. I take a quick shower. I make my coffee. I don't eat breakfast yet. I wait to eat breakfast later in the morning. So then I immediately sit down and paint. I paint from 5:30-ish until it's bedtime, which could be from anywhere to 7 or 8 at 9 o'clock. So it's late. I work longer than I probably should. So I'm sitting there just moving my arm. Sometimes I do get to do the woodworking, but I have to be in the mood, which is always fun for me because, you know, sometimes I just don't want to go in the garage. Sometimes I just want to sit down, or sometimes I want to go in the garage, and sometimes I just don't want to sit down. So it really depends on my mood. But then going to do murals, the painting is pretty easy because everything, no matter if it's small or large, it is just a scale and figuring out how to make that scale work. So that part is easy. It's just getting my body to be able to do it, which it's not working out very well because I don't work out very well. So it's a struggle. My shoulder blades are very mad currently.
Now, I noticed in these pictures where you're doing the mural, you've got, are those earmuffs, headphones? What is it that are you, what are you listening to?
They're the same ones I have on now. AirPods. I am not advertising for Apple, but I do love these AirPods Pro Max, I think is what they are. I used to only like the earbuds that go in your ear. but then the last ones I got, I guess my ears are too small. They didn't fit. So I sold them to my best friend. And then I got these guys. But what I listen to is murder podcasts.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
That's all I listen to. Yeah. I used to listen to music a lot because I used to be a music major. I was very into music for most of my life. But sometimes it gets a little too deep and too much emotion. So I listen to murder podcasts, which gives me no emotion.
Do you ever try to sneak a leg or a body into one of the murals?
No. See, one of my friends had that idea. He was up for the job at the return home place that composts your body. He was up for the job before me, and he told me his idea of, you know, sneaking a leg or an arm into the paintings. I was like, well, honey, they're not going to hire you.
You could do an artificial hip or something that wouldn't biodegrade.
Yeah, I don't know if that's what people would want to see, but, you know, I would personally find it hilarious. I don't think everybody else would. But just so everybody knows, everything that I paint, every single thing that I've painted, I've been listening to My Favorite Murder or Morbid the entire time.
I love it.
Listening to murders. It's my favorite thing.
Faith, we've reached the part of the podcast we like to call This or That, where I'm going to give you a few different options and just see what you think about it. The first one is, you mentioned Halloween's one of your favorite seasons. What's one of your go-to Halloween movies?
First one, Hocus Pocus.
Hocus Pocus. Ooh, yeah, choice. So You Did the Book was one of your cutout arts. And just so people understand, and I don't know if maybe we covered, so some of it is cutout, as in the frame is the shape of a bear or whatever, but some of it is you are removing a piece like a door, and like there's a scene, yeah, behind it. And it's really unique. I've never seen anything like it. But if you mentioned the ornaments, if not Halloween and you had to do one of these cutout pieces, what's a holiday you would like to incorporate into one of these future pieces?
Well, second most famous holiday, Christmas.
All right. Scenery. Does it have to be exactly like what you're looking at, or is it okay to take some artistic liberties?
I can take artistic liberties. Sometimes if it's a photorealistic thing that somebody's taken a picture of, you know, then it is photorealism and I stick to it exactly. I don't like to stray, but if it's just for me painting something new, then I can, you know, go off on my own.
I went to a thing this weekend and there was a guy who was painting a little lake next to the deal, and they were going to auction the painting off. So I guess he was trying to go fast, but he was leaving trees off. I'm like, bro, you got to get all the trees, man. You can't selectively.
That's the most important part.
Yeah, you got to get all the trees. All right.
Yeah. So, I like the trees.
I know you like to paint scenery. Is it okay to take a hobby on vacation? Do you go to other places and try to paint?
I haven't been on vacation in like 3 years. So that's probably an awful question. But when I used to go on vacation, I mean, I would take photos so that I could come back home and paint them later. I don't go on vacation to paint. Well, unless I'm on a mural job, you know, I'm in Colorado or Reno or something, then I have to go paint there. But yeah, usually I'll just take a bunch of pictures and get inspiration from that, then come home and paint them.
Well, speaking of pictures, what do you think captures a memory better, picture or a painting?
Painting, because the picture never comes out how I remember it in my mind.
Right.
Like the colors aren't as vibrant as I remember them. So painting them, I'm able to give it more saturation, more contrast, more effect than when they actually are there.
All right, that takes us to our three tools question. So if you could, if you were going to restart your studio from scratch, what would be your first three tools that you would purchase?
Well, so I thought about this question and it very much depends if we're talking basic tools or power tools, because my power tools, scroll saw is number one, most important. Second, table saw. Third, nail gun, staple gun.
Mm, yeah.
if it was just, you know, a regular tool, a hammer, a chisel, those kind of things. So it very much depends. But my scroll saw is my baby. I need that girl.
We're giving and you a scroll saw.
If I had to add an extra, it would be a rotary tool of sorts.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect. Well, thanks so much for joining us tonight. And if you would, please tell everybody where they can find you.
Well, I'm Wooden Sense. It's not a scent like a smell. It's a sense like I can see you. Wooden Sense on Instagram, on TikTok, online. What's woodensense.com? All those fun things. I'm Faith Montgomery.
Awesome. Excellent. Well, awesome. Thanks so much for having for coming on, and have a good night.
Yeah, it was so nice talking to you, Faith.
Nice talking to you too. Good night.
We'd like to say a special thanks for the folks over on Patreon in the middle tier. We've got Tony Langer from Langerworks, Susan Duplantis from Hearth and Garden Art, Stephanie Taddeo, and Kyle with Footwork Woodworking.
All right, guys, let's talk about some fence board projects that we've done.
Yeah, I really like this topic because it's a material that you can get for free when people are tearing down their fences.
Sure.
Or it's pretty cheap wood if you go and buy it at the store, at Home Depot or whatever. And if you're into that certain kind of aesthetic, it works really well. And so I've got a ton of projects over here that we did with fence boards. The one that really jumps out when I think about it is I made a TV stand for our back patio. It's got, it's like a tabletop with two doors, and that's where I keep all my charcoal for the barbecue pits. And then it's got a wall that goes up, and that's where the TV is mounted outside. And that's all fence boards, the whole 2x4s, but everything else is fence boards. And then on the doors, I kind of did one of those patterns where I cut like triangles and different lengths and thicknesses. And I mixed in some copper sheet. So I had like some scrap copper. So I'd wrap a piece of fence board with the copper, and it's like these little copper accents on each door. But it's one of my favorite projects. It's held up well because it's cedar, and it's worked out really good. We've got a ton of outdoor projects, planter boxes made from fence boards. When we decorate for Halloween, our haunted graveyard is all old fence boards that I took from a neighbor that was tearing their fence down. And I'm going to throw them away. And then next year I'll go find another person who's tearing their fence down in October, get a new haunted cemetery fence. But no, I think fence boards are, you can do a lot with fence boards that are free or, you know, pretty economical as far as wood goes at the big box store.
Yeah. It's like $3 for a plank of cedar,
for a nice cedar plank.
Right. And I use them. I was planting them down and then using them to make the signs for my dad's garden, like all the vegetable marker signs.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Because I was like, they're not going to rot. It's cedar.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And they've held up really, because I planed them all the way down to a quarter inch thick.
Because
I cut them out with the laser and engraved them with the laser. So I didn't have to actually work, you know? And
no skill either.
No skill required. And they've held up great, even being that thin in the elements all the time.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I know that when I say I use barn wood, that's not all of my materials, not necessarily from the barns, because there's a lot of paddock areas or fences around the barns that would have a top row of wood, and then underneath it would be the paneling or something, whatever kind of fence we've got, depending on what animal we're putting in there. So there's a lot of times where it was used as fence as opposed to just actually on a barn, but it's the same, that weathered wood, you know. And some of the, you know, the wood that I used back then, a 2x4 is literally 2 inches by 4 inches, or 1 inch by 6 inches, because they were taking them down to the mill and they were just cutting them like real measurements, as opposed to this made up math that they do now, you know, at the big box stores. So I had used some posts for, from a fence project, or from a fence on a, you know, the little shoe changing seats or whatever you want to call it, you know, to where, like at your front or back door, wherever you're taking your shoes off, the little shelves on the bottom, and then the little spot for someone to set. So yeah, I use those 2x4s because they were good, sturdy, old though, wooden oak
Are you planing them down? Or are you?
No, I left them.
That texture. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I, you know, I sanded them down enough to make sure that all of the real, you know, you're not going to get splinters from it.
Right.
But I didn't plane it down. That was the, that project that I did for Emily was quite a few years ago. And even like on some parts where depending on whether you had, you've got horses or cows or what animal you got there, there could be areas of the wood that's literally rubbed off or chewed off, depending on, you know, what animal you've got there. So in some cases,
just keeping beavers in there.
Yeah. Well, like cows, they like to scratch their backs and everything. But yeah, so there were some pieces that were worn, but that's just character, you know, for what I'm using it for. And yeah, it turned out pretty cool, even if, you know, even if it was a little different with the character.
I like to, it's such a good wood if you're going to do a project with kids, because if I've done some woodworking stuff with my nieces and it's easy to cut, it's easy to nail together. Mm-hmm. The dimensions are very manageable. It's not very dense or heavy. You don't have to worry about nails shooting out some crazy direction. So it's such a good craft wood to use. And you can make birdhouses. You can make all kind of little things really easily.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I mean, even just not planing them and just using the straight up brand new boards when I made my outdoor shower, the doors are made out of it. All the accent wood strips are made out of it, you know, just because it holds up to water. That's it, that's the beauty part for me. And so many of my projects are going outside. Like if it's a wood project that I'm doing, it's going outside. You know, and so that using the cedar, it's great just for the weather aspects.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. You know, and she mentioned too, fence boards over pallets, and it's the same thing. Like, yeah, you go get a pallet. Oh, it's free. By the time you take it apart, and there could be some good wood in it or not, but you could go spend $9 at Home Depot, get just as much wood, if not more, and it doesn't have a bunch of nails in it. It's ready to go. Yeah. I don't know. It's just a win-win for me.
Yeah.
Just don't buy treated.
Well, yeah, that's for sure.
If you're going to lick it.
Pallets. Yeah. Tearing pallets apart, that is kind of time consuming. Unless you're willing to just cut it to pieces to where you're not going to bother taking out the nails or, but then you're ending up with, you know, 18 inch strips rather than anything of real length. So I guess it just kind of depends on what you're looking for.
Have you guys ever used one of those pallet buster tools?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never had success with. Like, oh, really? It feels like almost every, not the tool, I never used the tool, but with when I'm taking pallets apart, I got to the point where I just cut along the sides and don't even try to fight the nails. Like, I just cut planks that are small, you know?
Yeah.
I would always bust the pallets apart. Like, they would just disintegrate.
Yeah. I had bought one, the last house that I lived at, we took the entire back deck off. I hired a guy to put it all back together.
Here we go.
Every episode.
Deck in. Going to bring up that big back deck.
Oh, well, that was my last house. I had a big back deck then, too. I'm used to big back decks.
I'm sitting on my deck the other day, and I was just like, it's not as big as Christie's.
but I got one of those, you know, to pull all the deck boards off. And sure. So I took care of, like, all of the deconstruction, and then I hired one of the local guys to actually put it all together, because I also had that composite decking at that house too, which man, that's the way to go if you're going to put a deck in, to get that composite decking. But I did try to use that tool to take pallets apart, and I'm like, this is just a pain in the butt. I mean, and I don't really need to use pallet wood, you know what I mean? I wasn't trying to scrape around to find more wood. So I was kind of like, nah, I'm not.
I switched to eventually when I was like, I'm going to take these pallets apart and I want the boards to be full length, is I just switched to a metal sawzall blade and just, I would go behind it and just cut the nails off and then just tap them back out the front. And I had way more success doing that than trying to pry them apart. Those nails are bastards in the pallets, those twist nails, or whatever, they're screw nails or whatever they're called. Yeah. Thanks for joining us today. If you like this episode, please give us a review and subscribe. We'd love to hear from you, so reach out to us on Instagram at Making Our Way Podcast or on Patreon. You can find all of our latest individual content on Instagram or YouTube. I'm at High Caliber Craftsman. Dean is at Dean_Duplantis, and Christy is at Twisted Twine Woodworking. Lick it, stick it, see you later, bye.
And we'd like to take a minute and thank the folks over on our first tier of Patreon. We've got Jacob with Griffin Makes, Jacob from Other Dog Design, Keith Drennan from Blackthorn Concept, Justin from Bear Maked, Jeff Stein, a weird guy, Dave Bauer, Caitlin Landerno, Morley Kurt, Greg from Platte Valley Woodworks, Brendan McDonough from McDonough Design, The Grant Alexander, Jen Griffin the Black Sheep, Brian from Moonshine Leatherworks, The Makeshift Podcast, Maritime Knife Supply, Henry at HT1 Metalworks, Brad Harrison from Brad's Customs, Steve Delaney from One Old School Pirate, Kelsey Watson, Dan with Goofballs by Dan, Chris Powell from Full Steam Design, Spaghetti and Waffles, Rebecca Johansson, Ira Housework, Eric from Overall Makerworks, Ed Johns from buttjoints.com, Dave Beckwith, Rob DeMarco, Dave at Atomic Airship, Earl the Third, XYZ, and Dana and Emmett at Rescue Room on Summit. Thanks a bunch, folks.